Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks took place on Saturday morning, September 23rd, here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. It was a men's breakfast during our revival season where Reverend James Sproul came and shared the word with us.
James, why don't you come up this morning, and he's just going to share whatever's on his heart. And you can close, James, by just praying a blessing over us, and then Pastor Carey will come and benedict us with the benediction. So I think he knows he's doing that. Aren't you glad that James is here? I know a lot of you have heard him speak many times, but it's an hour early in his head from Tennessee. So he got up an hour earlier than all of you because he got up in his time. So we're grateful.
Central time.
That's it. Well, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Let's applaud and welcome him. Yeah, he likes when we cheer for him.
I feel like a former general superintendent, Dr. V.H. Lewis. This actually happened here in Virginia. I went to a meeting where he was a speaker, and a guy in our church by the name of Paul Martin had written a devotional book. And the title of the devotional book was Good Morning, Lord. And I used to go away from ministers' meetings and hearing preachers preach, telling me that I had got to get up at 4:30 and meet with Jesus and pray for an hour and a half. And I'd go away discouraged and determined, well, I'm going to try it again because I've got to be godly and holy. And that's what they do, and they seem like they know Jesus better than I do. And I've never been a morning person, to tell you the truth. I'm a night person, you know. And I used to get aggravated about that. And so I went to this meeting, and he was talking about the devotional book that his friend Paul Martin had written, titled Good Morning, Lord. And I found out that General Superintendent Lewis was kind of like me, or I was like him. He said, he had a big deep voice, said, when I saw Paul talking about his book, Good Morning, Lord, I said, Paul, for me, I think you should have titled it, Good Lord, It's Morning. it just points out that we're all different. And don't try to be like somebody else. Be yourself, you know. I remember one time a guy aggravated me. I was a pastor, and he called me one morning at the crack of dawn, and he thought it was funny. And he said, hey, good morning, James. Said, I'm up going to work, and I figured you might as well be up going to work, too. I said, I was still in bed and half asleep, and I said to my wife, you just wait. And I told him, I said, it's okay, Ronnie, because I'll be at the hospital at 1 o'clock in the morning one of these times, and you're going to get a call. I'm going to speak your own words. I'm going to say, Ronnie, I'm up working tonight. I figure you might as well be up, too. As I've gotten older, I do wake up. I wake up in the middle of the night. A few years ago, I said to the Lord in all sincerity, I would be happy if you would wake me up in the middle of the night. And when my mind's clear, and speak to me, it'll be good. And I'm telling you, there's hardly a night in my life that I don't wake up around 3 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock. And in fact, the message I'm probably going to preach here Sunday, I'll hear it myself for the first time. Last Saturday night at 2:30 in the morning, I woke up. And it was just there in my mind, which startled me. And I turned the light on and started making some notes. And I felt like it was for Harrisonburg because I've never preached that message before. So say a prayer for me. Well, I was thinking about this morning, and I have a tendency to share my journey, what I've experienced. That's what I know. And relate that to the scripture and how it works together. There is a passage of scripture that I've heard ever since I became a Christian in the church, and I've heard many preachers speak from it and teach about it. And just a few years ago, the Lord gave me some insight that I had never heard anybody speak. And it has meant so much to me. I can't get away from it. So when we went to Carrie's house last night, I was thinking about this morning and what should I share. When you've lived as long as I have and had all these experiences, it's easy just to start in and do what you want to do and tell some stories or whatever. But I really hope and pray that just in 10 minutes or so, I can give you something that you'll think about that'll stay with you for the rest of your life. That in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, sometimes I hear a preacher preaching from it. Recently I heard this on the radio. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's different translations. One says, which is your spiritual worship. The next verse says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's where everybody starts. That's not the place to start with that scripture. As you already know, when the scriptures were written, they weren't written as chapters and verses. And I see this all the time, more and more, how much we miss because we are preconditioned to see the scripture as chapters and verses as opposed to thoughts. So I was at Trevecca, graduated in 62, then a seminary. And all of these brainiacs that I appreciate and love that knew so much, not one person in all of my life, and I don't claim to be, don't take this wrong, that I'm unique or anything special. I'm not. I'm a cotton picker from Alabama.
Amen.
I know, Jim. I got a granddaughter there. That's my team. But it's amazing to me that this could be so obvious in Scripture and so overlooked. I've never read it in another book. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's seen this, but at least I've never seen anybody say it. So if we eliminate, I think the NIV starts verse 1 of chapter 12, I beseech you, therefore. I believe it starts with therefore. And I was not an English major. But I do remember that therefore is a conjunction. Therefore. Which ties it to what has just been said. And what has just been said is the most phenomenal statement, in my opinion, in all the Bible. In fact, it's my favorite verse, even over John 3:16, because John 3:16 is in it. The 11th chapter, the last verse. And I bet nobody here would know it. I wouldn't have been able to quote it. And this is what it says. And this is the new King James. But I think this will make sense to you. The 36th verse of chapter 11 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And then it says, therefore. In other words, what Paul is saying, this is the ultimate profound truth that you can hang your hat on, you can build your life on. Therefore, it makes sense that you give your life to it. And it all fits together like it's just a message. And he says, because this truth, you don't think like what this truth is teaching. It's not normal. So you're going to have to change the way you think. You're going to have to develop a different mindset, a way of looking at things. Think about this. For of him, or from him, some translations say, talking about Christ, which it says he's the source of everything good. He's your source, my source.
Yes.
Everybody needs a source. And sometimes we think our ultimate source is just us. I never saw this, but I see how this relates to my life. My first church after I graduated from Trevecca, I graduated from Trevecca in 62 and pastored 5 years and came and pastored this church, Harrisonburg, for 1 year. That's an interesting story. I wanted to go back to school and take a few courses, so I went over at that time at Eastern Mennonite. They were starting a seminary, and I went over and talked with them, and they were so nice. They were almost going to let me go to seminary free. And this is how things changed, Stanley. He probably doesn't even know this. So I went to the board and said, if it's okay, I would like to take a few courses. I'm not going to be full-time and work on a master's degree. And they said, no, we paid you full-time. We don't want you going to school. So that's when I... Carrie, you didn't even know this, did you? So that's when I said, okay, then I'm going out to Nazarene Mecca in Kansas City and go to school. And so we went out there, and then I had a church in Monroe, North Carolina, and we lived, there's a driveway between us and the church building, and when I came there, they paid us $50 a week and expected to be full-time, and the guy before me, they paid $85 a week. He was an older man and also had a job, but I was young and green, and they didn't feel like they could pay me more than $50 a week. And we had one child and one on the way. And now this all does relate. It's when I first learned that God can be your source if you'll let him. And they bought me a nice lawnmower so I could cut their grass at the church. And this is a high point moment in my life. This is a place where I drove a stake down that I've built my whole life, and now I'm 78 years old. And I'm here to testify to you that you can count on what I'm about to say to you. So I remember this like it was yesterday. I'm out mowing the grass one day, and I'm thinking, it's just not fair. Here I am, just out of college, got debt, got one child and one on the way. We can hardly make it. And they take advantage of me and pay me $50 a week. And life was really tough. I'm telling you, it was really tough. Especially when you have a father and brother saying, why don't you move back to Nashville and work with us and preach on the side? And I remember that war going on in my mind about the unfairness of that moment. And I didn't hear an audible voice, but I knew it was God. It was a divine encounter. The Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, well, who do you want to be your source? Do you want me to be your source? Or do you want the church to be your source? And I remember thinking in this conversation of thought, I remember thinking, well, I didn't know I have a choice. I'm here, and my pay is whatever they give me. And I remember that day after contemplating that thought, do I want the church, the world, to be my source, or do I want God to be my source? And I said, I don't know fully what it means, but I choose you, Jesus. Amen. From this moment on, you will forever be my source. And I can say to you, and it's not anything wrong with asking for a raise, but I can say to you, it's just the way it's between me and him. I've never asked for a raise. Preachers will call me and say, can you come for a meeting? How much do you need? I say, whatever you give. And I don't tell them, you're not my source. God is. And I can't tell you that all of a sudden I get a better car. But from that moment in my life, things have gradually changed. And if you think about this, for of him, source, this is what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he's the source of our salvation. And I've seen that in so many ways. I'm thinking of stories I could tell you in Haiti. We've had our backs against the wall so many times in Haiti. We bought a steel building, a prefab building that had to be put together back a number of years ago, and we were going to put this church building, and you couldn't even drive all the way to where this church was. We drove a four-wheel vehicle, and then the last 30 or 40 minutes, you had to walk. And so we get this brainy idea that we want to build a church building in 1 week and put it up. And so we are thinking, how are we going to get that building to this site location? So we're thinking, okay, so we've got some money. We will hire 50 Haitians, or as many as we need, and we'll have them carried in piece by piece. And so it was a big need that we didn't know how to meet. And we get down to Haiti, and we're looking at the whole thing. And that time we had some American military there with Chinook helicopters and all. And one of the guys that went with us was in the guard. And he said, why don't we go down to the military base and see if we can get them to swing that thing and fly it up there for us? And you know what I was thinking? Oh, yeah, that's going to really happen. You know, we're talking about God as the source. Never try to put God in a box as the source. You can't believe the kind of things he can do. So they went down to the base, and I didn't go with them, but they told me the story, and I remember it very well. They said they got to the gate, and this is when we had gone down there, and there had been a coup, and there's a lot of Americans there. And they said, we got to the gate, and there was a guy guarding, and he said, no, you can't come in, you know. And he said, about the time we were ready to leave, a military guy, an American, comes up and said, hey, what do you guys want? And he said, well, we're just trying to get on the base because we want to talk with the captain or whoever flies the helicopters. And he said, well, look, I've just been called in. If I ride with you, I'll take you in. So we took him in. Make a long story, they get in and said, well, the guy you need to see about that is not here. And they're starting to leave, and he comes around the corner, and there he is. And so the major said, well, we're kind of bored and we need some training flight, so don't tell anybody. He said, from now on, it's not a church, it's a school. And it really was a school. We had a school meeting, so it wasn't a, it was a partial truth. So he, the major said he was not the captain. Fine. The major said, okay, we'll make one flight for you. Have it here at a certain time, and we'll swing it and take it for you. And so, man, they came back, and we were all rejoicing. Boy, God is a source. He got contacts you wouldn't believe. I often said, do you realize there are so many uninvented things? We've got to get over the fact that money is the issue of life. Money's not the issue. If it is, God's holding out on us. I figured that out a long time ago. You know, do you know how much money the guy made it? Invented the weed eater? Some of you don't even appreciate the weed eater. You never got down with those clipper things with your hands, do you? Got blisters. And then somebody comes along and uses fishing line to cut weeds. God is an unending source, for of him. All things. And so we got to ship the building on a boat down to Haiti, and it got there, and it came time to fly it. And the major was on R&R in the Dominican, got out of Haiti. So all we have is a captain, and he's in charge now of the big, you know, the twin blades. It's a Chinook helicopter. And guess what? When he's not in the guard or whatever, he's a youth pastor in the church in Oregon. I mean, God is a source in your life. You got to get a hold of this. And he said, well, Major's not here. We'll make two flights for you. And so I don't know how many tons this was, but they swung that and flew that stuff in. And we had a huge generator on wheels, like you see them hang on a crane by the interstate, you know, because we had to do a lot of welding. And we're going to have to hand push that thing in. And they took it up there for us. And we go down there, and in a week, we put the building up. And the same guys that talked with him said, you know, I wonder if we went back to see him, he'd come and get this generator so we don't have to push it out by hand. And I was there. And so they went to see him, and he said, have it out there in that big field at 8:30 Sunday morning. And it was an incredible moment. I was there. Man, you never seen the dust. Goats were hollering, and cows were running, and kids. And when he came in with that thing and all the dust, and we have video of all of that. And I'll never forget that moment. They went down, some of our guys, and pushed that generator inside it. And he took off, and I heard it, you know, whoop, 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 going. And I thought, what an incredible moment that God is a source way beyond anything we could ever imagine. And then I heard it start to get louder. And he had flown around the mountain, and he came back. And here's the building that wasn't there last week, and we had put it up. And he was one of us, our brother, flying it. And he came back, and he stopped, and he hovered. And he just sat there. And then he ducked his nose like he was bowing. Ducked his nose, rolled it out, and took our generator to Port-au-Prince. This is an incredible verse. My challenge to you is, whatever your age, whatever your need, for of him and through him, which says he is the means. Salvation is of God. He provided it. Who paid for it? Jesus. He's the means of our salvation. And it says, and to him. He's the ultimate purpose of it all, of everything. Now, here's the context. In view of that powerful truth, that God is all you need, what does Paul say? Now it makes sense. You can afford, I beseech you, therefore, I'm asking you to give your life to him. Give it all to him. You can trust him. And then I think it's really neat. He recognized, but you have a problem because you don't think like this. It's not the normal way to think. The way you think is you've got to work harder. You've got to do more. That you're your source. It's all in your hands. And he said, you're going to have to renew your mind according to God's word, because it's not up to you. You have needs you can't ever meet. God wants you to do things that you don't have the source or resources to do it. It's what's called living beyond yourself. It's living out of who God is. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've gone back to that moment riding on a lawnmower when I said to God, from this moment, and there's been moments when I've gotten out of it. It's been a mental battle. How many times I've come back to this, Lord, you're my source. You're my source. I look to you, and your resources are way beyond anything I could ever imagine. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about other needs, other things in your life that you're trying to do or to accomplish. Don't ever think you will lose anything when you make God your source. I can tell you today, I developed a philosophy. I'll take about two more minutes and we'll be out of here. I developed a philosophy years ago. I got it from, I think, E. Stanley Jones, or it may have been Oswald Chambers. The biggest salary I ever made as a pastor, okay, the most I ever made, weekly salary, the 43 and a half years I pastored, was $500 a week. Now, please don't take this wrong. This all happened in ways I could have never imagined. But that's my biggest salary. I remember my goal was to be a professional pilot, not a preacher. I was prouder of my pilot's license than I was my college diploma, to tell you the truth. Because getting a pilot's license was all fun and a challenge. Getting a college diploma was the pits. You know, and I had to work at that. So my desire was to fly. So when I took that church at $50 a week, I soloed in a Piper Cub. I could only afford a 30-minute lesson. They cost me $6. And I love flying. Oh, man, I love flying. But I soloed, and a guy had a Piper Cub that's probably still flying somewhere, and he wanted $1,375 for it, and I wanted it so bad, but it would might as well have been $13 million. Blue and white, I wanted to buy it. But how are you going to fly an airplane on $50 a week? So I remember thinking, I guess I have to give up my flying. And I gave up my flying. Came to Harrisonburg, went back to school. But God's the incredible source. When I came to Huntsville, Alabama, to the University Place Church of the Nazarene, my brother lives in Nashville, and he called me one day and said, guess what I just bought? I said, what? He said, I just bought an airplane. I'm going to learn to fly. And he said, you're welcome to drive 2 hours up one day a week if you want. It's yours. You can learn to fly. Won't cost you anything. You know, I'm not, God's not cheap, folks. He didn't delight in your suffering. God is God. He doesn't exactly live in a shack himself. And I'm not into this prosperity thing you hear on TV. Don't think I'm going there. But if you make him your source, he is the source of the scripture, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That can really happen, and I believe only if you make him your source. And so I'm saying this to say to you that as a preacher who never got a check bigger than $500 a week, and this last church I pastored, I told them, I don't want pay. And they gave me $500 a week. How's it going to help? And so it's a true story. With all that said, and I got to stop. In my life, I've owned 5 airplanes. For 20 years, I flew blood for the American Red Cross and pastor too, because I was in charge of the program. So I could pick the day I wanted to fly and where I wanted to go. We'd go out to outlying cities and pick up blood and fly back to Nashville for the local Red Cross. And I'm telling you all of that just for one reason. In my life, and I give God all the glory, because I'm telling you, he's been an incredible source in my life, not just for material things, but spiritual issues and every need, source for everything. And so in my lifetime, I own 5 airplanes. I did everything. I've landed on the beach. I've flown up the Outer Banks. My wife wasn't happy at 200 feet at 185 miles an hour. pretty close to the ocean. But anyway, I've said all of that. To tie it off, don't ever start with verse 1 of chapter 12. If you start there, you're missing it. You are missing it. If you're going to start, at least back up and start with verse 36. Let me read it to you. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever, so be it. Therefore, because of this profound truth, therefore, I beg you, give your life to him. Give your life. Become a living sacrifice to him. And don't think like the world thinks. Think like heaven thinks. Think God's truth. Renew your mind. Get rid of old thoughts. Oh my, they pay me $50 a week and I have to mow their grass and they're taking advantage of me. That's the way the world thought. No, think new. I am a servant of God, and God is my source. And if he wants me to be a millionaire tomorrow, he can make it. He can give me inventions. And you've got to come to the place you don't care where it comes from. My wife and I don't have it now. Please receive this. I only tell you this to affirm that what God said to me on that moor is true. There was one time in my life, and this stuff, I can't tell you. There's one time in my life, this is embarrassing. I owned two homes, two boats, and two airplanes. Not anymore, because life's not measured in stuff. I'm only telling you that is that God was my source, and He overwhelmed me. So, Lord, today, as we go, there may be some men here stressed out. There may be some young men. There are young men here. And the temptation for all of us is to think we have to be our own source. We have to work harder. We have to have some luck. Will you help us to erase that thought and realize for of you and through you and to you are all things. And help every one of us to live every day of our life knowing that you are our source and you will source us. You will give us everything we need to do everything you want us to do. And Lord, I've found in that you're in the blessing. You go even beyond that as long as we put you first. It's not about our stuff. It's all about you. Don't let our stuff own us, but let us be owned by you. Bless these men. Thank you for them, for being willing to come on early Saturday morning. And as they go away, if some of them are struggling with their source, help them to go back and read Romans 11:29 and 12:1-2. Thank you again for your blessing and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus will fund his project. He will source his project, his desire. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you. I think I'll eat breakfast now. Gary, you said you were supposed to come 8 o'clock.
Praise God from all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, second Thursday of every month. We have the men's main of meal over in Traditions in the back room. Same DNA as this. Dan doesn't have to cook, but we have some food. And also we have prayer every Thursday morning at 6:10 a.m. If the Lord were to wake you up, and you don't have to come every week, I don't. but I come if I can get here, and it's always this DNA right here. So we welcome you, and men's retreat's coming up in April of 2018. You can get the exact dates from Pastor Adrian, and we'd love to have you come down and be amongst the Christers as we go down to be the keepers of the light. So don't do life alone forever, you know. Come, and we might need you if you don't need us. So we love you. Thanks for showing up. Tonight, well, this evening at 5, we're having kind of our version of the dinner on the grounds. So you're welcome. And at 6:30, we'll have some worship, and Brother Sproul will speak again. And tomorrow, the things that happen will happen. Pray for Brother Renee. He stepped out. His family are in Puerto Rico, and he hadn't heard from them yet. I don't think. Still haven't heard from them yet? Not yet. So there's your communication's broken down. They can't get any messages in or out, so he doesn't know how his family is in Puerto Rico. So I thought we'd just take a moment to pray over Renee. I was kind of stalling that he might come back in. And so, Jared, would you mind? You're real close there. Jared Link, come right over here. Y'all work together every day. Y'all know each other. Would you pray a prayer over Renee's family, just as if you hadn't heard from your daddy? He was somewhere and you didn't know how he was doing. Billy Hook's going back in.
Oh, Lord Jesus, the wonderful thing of relationship with you is you know exactly our needs and our family's needs, Lord. And, Father, but it's still with broken hearts, Lord, that we wonder. And Lord, I know how much Renee's hurting for his family, Lord, just to hear their voice, Lord. And Lord, I know you've heard from them, Lord. I know you would know exactly where they are, and you're providing their needs. You are their source, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that your source would flow abundantly today, Lord Jesus, for Renee and his family. And for all the victims of the hurricanes, Lord, there's been several major storms come through just this season, and earthquakes to go with it, Lord. Father, it seems like chaos, but Lord, we're not worried, we're not afraid, because you are our source, Lord. And so may we lean into you, Jesus, and may you heal our hearts, Lord.
Yes.
Help us to understand that it's okay to be concerned, and it's okay to bring our worries to you, Jesus, as long as we leave them with you and trust you with them, Lord. So, Lord, we lift up Renee and his dear family and all the people of Puerto Rico and leave them at the foot of your cross, Jesus. Thank you and praise you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Go in peace.